Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Patanjali Foods Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements do not guarantee the future performance of the company and may involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjeev Asthana, CEO, Patanjali Foods. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, and good morning to everyone joining us today. A warm welcome to all of you on Patanjali Foods Limited's call to discuss the financial performance for Q1 FY27. I'm accompanied by the company's CFO, Kumar Rajeshji, along with Mr. Priyendu Jha from Investor Relations and our IR partners, Strategic Growth Advisors. The results collateral has been uploaded on the stock exchanges as well as on the company's website for your reference. Let me now take you through a quick snapshot of our financial performance for the quarter. During the course of the call, we will be referring to the standalone financials. We continued to build on this momentum, delivering our fourth consecutive quarter of highest-ever quarterly revenues, supported by healthy growth in profitability. Specifically, revenue from operations stood at 11,337 crores, growing 29% year-on-year. Operating EBITDA for the period was rupees 543 crores, with a margin at 4.80%, while profit before tax stood at 453 crores, translating into a PBT margin of 4%. Turning to the segmental performance now, our edible oil segment delivered quarterly revenue of 8,505 crores, marking the highest-ever quarterly revenue, with growth led primarily by the mustard oil. Quarterly EBITDA margin came in at 5.22%. On the oil palm plantation front, the company generated highest-ever quarterly revenue of rupees 740 crores in Q1 FY27. Revenues grew by 25% year-on-year. This growth is closely aligned with the Government of India's National Mission on Edible Oils, Oil Palm, which has strengthened farmer viability pricing and planting assistance to drive India towards self-reliance in edible oils. As of 30th June 2026, the cultivated area stood at 115,861 hectares, with nearly 37% of the area in the prime yielding phase of 7 to 25 years, against total allocated area of 6.63 lakh hectares. Turning now to our FMCG segment, the quarterly revenues stood at 2,938 crores, with EBITDA of 190 crores and EBITDA margin of 6.45% in Q1 FY27. The segment contributed nearly 26% of revenues and nearly 30% of EBITDA, excluding unallocable income during the quarter. Within FMCG by category, the biscuits generated revenue of 560 crores, registering year-on-year growth of 27%, reflecting continued consumer trust and preference, with EBITDA margin of 15.35% versus 9.35% in the same period last year. Revenue from consumer staples segment stood at more than 1,000 crores in Q1 FY27. A confluence of weather and geopolitical factors are expected to create some challenges here, but healthy government grain inventories and timely policy intervention should help mitigate the impact. The textured soya product division recorded revenue of 160 crores in Q1 FY27, growing 14% year-on-year and 50% quarter-on-quarter, with EBITDA margin of over 18%. Our beverage portfolio generated revenue of 38 crores, driven by extended summers, aided by delayed onset of monsoon, as well as new product launches, including mango chutney, mango panna juice, and orange juice. Ghee sales were softer during the quarter and generated revenue of 219 crores, reflecting the seasonal nature of demand and lower summer offtake in export-oriented markets, particularly in the Middle East, where geopolitical tensions disrupted normal consumption and trade patterns. Our other food categories, including honey, dry fruits, spices and condiments, herbal products, etc., collectively generated revenues of 203 crores during the quarter. Revenue from nutraceuticals stood at 18 crores, with sports nutrition gaining significant momentum. Our home and personal care business delivered a strong performance with a total revenue of 629 crores in Q1 FY27. Within the category, the skin care emerged as a major revenue growth driver, and dental care inched up on EBITDA and EBITDA margin side. The dental care segment generated revenues of 325 crores, followed by skin care at 165 crores. Home care revenue stood at 83 crores, while hair care and other products generated rupees 56 crores. Let me now give you a brief overview of the operating environment. With a combination of delayed monsoon and West Asia conflict, we saw commodity price inflation in Q1. This cuts both ways for us. On one hand, we carry long positions in edible oil, so the resulting commodity price inflation has actually been a net positive for the business. On the other, the same inflation raises input costs for several of our FMCG businesses, weighing on their profitability. Next, the impact on Patanjali as a whole is smaller than it would be for a pure FMCG company, though we are operating in a challenging environment through this quarter and into the next. In edible oils, we have witnessed substantial drop in veg oil EBITDA last year. This, however, we are seeing inflation returning in volatile veg oil markets, driven largely by petroleum prices and genuine supply shortages across the spectrum. This is working in our favor, offsetting much of the input cost pressure elsewhere in the portfolio, and keeps us on course to deliver both the growth and the overall margin construct we have guided to for the company, even after accounting for the raw material inflation flowing through from delayed monsoon. In this dynamic environment, we remain agile on pricing as input costs evolve. We took calibrated price increases in the edible oil segment while using targeted discounts in our FMCG portfolio to remain competitive. We also introduced a smaller pack sizes to address changing consumer needs and market requirements. This calibrated approach to pricing and pack architectures has helped us navigate the environment effectively. Such pricing measures are continuing in the current quarter as well as across the industry. Despite some delay in the monsoon, recent data on sowing of kharif, including rice, pulses, coarse cereals, sugarcane, etc., has showcased resilience. The acreage gap has narrowed to 1.9% vis-a-vis last year. In fact, oilseed saw a rise in the area, which is expected to get further boosted with widespread rainfall across key growing regions. On the input front, the palm oil prices, which began firming in March 26, remained positive following the onset of the war, but turned marginally lower after de-escalation in the latter part of the quarter. Futures factored in the same and prices turned lower. Still, domestic prices were supported by rupee depreciation of 2.5%, and again by festival period palm oil prices reached 2-week high in mid-August. The soy oil price futures increased by 40% towards the end of March and stabilized towards the end of June. The swap prices corrected by 66% amidst lower demand, leading to a sharper decline in physical prices, with further firming similar to palm oil price trend. In the current environment, physical-oriented hedging strategy, rather than reliance on futures alone, along with timely import purchases, helped us in capturing divergence and improve the margin. Wheat prices have remained largely stable during the quarter, while milk prices trended upwards on the back of higher procurement costs. Sugar prices too stayed firm amid lower domestic production and tighter inventory levels. Certain home and personal care products continue to face elevated input cost pressures. In addition to all, we saw an increase in packaging, freight and logistics costs during the quarter. Let me now move on to some of the other key business updates for the quarter. I want to take a moment to share some updates on our team. Our CFO, Kumar Rajesh, was honored with the Best CFO of the Year Award at the Asia Business Leader of the Year Awards. On behalf of the entire team, I want to congratulate him on this well-deserved honor. During the quarter, we launched several new products, including Rose Kanti Soap, Dant Kanti Sensitive Toothpaste, Super Dishwash Liquid, Sweet Lime Pickle, Almond and Chyawanprash Cookies, in addition to our summer-focused launches. We've also rolled out a range of new Dant Kanti variants that are performing exceedingly well. We are increasingly micro-segmenting this portfolio by population, by choice architecture, and specifically to address the Gen Z requirements for the toothpaste. The staples category is expected to see the most rural stress-related pressure this quarter, while home and personal care overall should continue to grow well. On the distribution front, we continue to strengthen our presence across e-commerce and quick commerce channels. We remain confident in Patanjali's own right to win health, wellness, yoga, Ayurveda, and what I'd call the Indianness of our proposition remain a core differentiated category for us in a market that is self-expanding. We feel strongly and comfortably positioned to keep growing at the pace we have guided to, even as the overall FMCG landscape becomes more competitive and different players go about it in different ways. I want to reaffirm a full-year guidance range we have laid out for the business. Edible oil margin construct between 3-5% volume growth for the year. Food and FMCG 8-10% growth, with beauty and personal care growing at around 15%. FMCG vertical EBITDA growth at 12-15% for the year. On that note, I would now like to open the floor for questions and answers. With this, I conclude my opening remarks and hand it over for the Q&A session.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Avnish Roy with Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. My first question is on the dishwash. So in the dishwash category, we have seen one large MNC temporarily kind of exit the market. And we are also, obviously, that announcement has come that Godrej Consumer wants to exit the liquid dishwash. Currently, obviously, this segment is dominated by India's largest company, FMCG company. So I wanted to understand what is your thought on getting success in this segment. And do you see a big potential given the segment is currently seeing less competition because of the MNC vacating? Thank you.
Yeah, so Abneesh, look, the dishwash is actually a fairly strong, you know, both as a category and as a line that we have. And it has done exceedingly well. Yeah, so we have no intention of either exiting or slowing down on that. We continue launching on the variants. That market is expanding. And to the specific name of the companies that you mentioned, that is a more a personal decision they have made on, you know, the corporate level, what might have been decided. But we are pretty much doing quite well in that segment. I don't have the number readily available specifically for the dishwash part of it, but very happy to share that with you, you know, post this call.
Understood. My second question is on biscuits. So last 6 months in biscuit industry, we have seen 2-3 players operate at the odd pricing, 4.5, 9 rupee. So if you could tell us now that mostly everyone has exited, how does this impact the overall growth for the market leader and for you also?
So again, my actually it's one of our stronger, you know, stories, a good success stories of our brand has been that how we've kept not just the quality part exceedingly, you know, in control, have kept the unique positioning, you know, being the only atta biscuit player in the marketplace, and have grown that consistently. So that brand of Doodh biscuit that we have in the category of 5 and 10 rupees, we do almost 1300 crores of business annually, so it's a huge brand for us. And beyond a threshold, as you would see that even the EBITDA margins have continued to expand quarter on quarter and year on year. So this quarter, for example, we did nearly 15% plus in EBITDA on the biscuit. And I would say that a very substantial part of that has been driven by at the back of the success of Good Biscuit on continued expansion. While we balance the portfolio of biscuits by launching, as we mentioned, that both the almond cookies and the 7-Pass cookies, which were launched, there are series of slew of products towards the premium end of the offering that we are planning. But we are very committed. We see a very positive growth in that segment, and we continue to remain very active in that segment. Yes, we might go towards maybe premium Good Biscuit. We might look at more variants, you know, in line with, you know, the brand building that has happened over the years. But otherwise, we are very committed to 5 and 10 rupee sort of price points at which we are doing. And I think that served exceedingly well the company's objective overall.
So last quick question. When I see your initial comments on staples and your recent media interviews, I find your comments a bit on the cautious side. And if I see the Q1 call of other staples companies, generally they are reasonably positive. Of course, price hike will further accelerate. And on the volume demand side also, generally companies are quite okay. No one is sounding overtly cautious. So I want to understand, one, why there seems to be some difference. And second, what kind of price hike, if you can tell us, you have taken in which categories? Thank you.
So there are two factors which are driving this caution. And I think we'll see that unfolding, you know, over this quarter and the subsequent quarters. One is that this El Nino impact is still very unclear in the way how markets are going to react, both on the production side and the availability side. And very direct impact of that could be on the food inflation, which is there, number one. Number two is that the rural incomes and the rural market demand side, we'll have to watch, you know, with great deal of care as to how they play out. If at all we see some stress and resurfacing of some demand contraction there. I'm largely very positive in terms of the price outlook on the and bullish on the commodity pricing. And so that has both sides. One is that in terms of the top line growth, it can continue to sustain. So that I'm very much aligned on that. But in terms of the margin and the demand side of it, and to, in terms of how that goes out, I think there we'll see some potential challenging environment. I see definitely there. And this may also have an impact on the margin construct. But the most important part is that we still have to see that, you know, the reaction from the policy side, if indeed we see back to, you know, certain commodities, control order and essential commodities, et cetera, invocation of that. So we'll have to wait for that. I think, so that's why I've been a little off, cautious on that front. But overall, staples will continue to grow. There's no question about it. So that we are positive ourselves. And we have, in any case, given a guidance of 8 to 10% growth on the staple side in the overall food business also. And we pretty much stay true to that.
Sure. Thanks. That's all from me. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Abhishek Mathur with Systematix Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Sanjeev sir, good morning and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, this the foods segment seems to have recovered quite well this quarter after some time. Just wanted your thoughts on what is leading this recovery across both ethnic foods as well as the staples. Seems to be quite strong turnaround. Yeah, that's my first question.
Yeah, so we had a very good, as I was mentioning earlier, that both in terms of the volumes and in terms of the revenue. So there has been an inflationary sort of buoyancy, you know, which has driven that. So growth, you know, versus sequentially, if I look at the previous quarter itself, our overall, you know, the revenues and staples have grown almost 260 crores. So, you know, which is 30% growth and we grew our ethnic food side, there was some contraction. That we witnessed. But net-net, the overall expectation is that this will continue to grow partially by volume and balanced by, you know, the price inflation that we're expecting to see across the board. The second part is that there was an extra focus on, you know, some of the unique product categories that we have, like kesar and rice, etc., where we saw the immediate buoyancy in both the demand side and the pricing side. So we benefited from that. And I think we'll continue to drive that to growth. We've come out with new variants also, both on the lentils, on the pulses side, as well as on the side of besan, etc. So we are seeing some bit of, you know, the added sort of demand as it is getting driven. And the company will continue to focus. So while it generates lesser margin, but it is one of the good indicators of as to, you know, the reach that it develops and builds up and completes our presence in the kitchen. You know, so that is something which is a stated target that the company has and which we continue to sort of work towards.
Right, sir. And just as a follow-up, what was the approximate breakup of the growth in foods in terms of pricing that you took for the quarter and the volume growth?
So overall, the volume growth has been around 7 to 8% is what we have seen across the segment. And so I've just got the specific number. The volumes have grown by 5%, and the pricing, the inflation that came in was almost about 12%.
Understood, sir. And secondly, maybe in case I missed, what was the EBITDA number for our HPC, for staples and for ethnic foods, these three divisions separately, if you can give it out?
Yeah. So for ethnic foods, our EBITDA was 9 crores. And for the HPC as an overall basis, our overall HPC EBITDA was 122 crores.
Right. And for staples?
For staples, as a category, we had negative 59 crores.
Understood, sir. Thanks. That's it from me. All the best. Thanks.
Thank you.
A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Sanjay with RSS Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Sanjay, please go ahead with your question.
Hello, good morning, management team. So my first question is regarding the current situation in the case with the Aashav advisory. What is the current situation?
So that we can, because it is matter sub judice, and we can take it up and we can discuss it post the call.
So how should I connect to you? What's the phone? Hello?
I said you can take our number from the SGA advisors and you can reach out to us and we can discuss that separately.
Okay. So my second question is regarding the nutraceutical deal going in the international market. Are we aware of that? Megatonic buying, Bain Capital buying. So some big... Hello?
I would not be able to... I don't have the specific details of these deals, so I would not be able to comment on that.
Sir, for example, Bain Capital buying Vita Biotics at a very huge price. I just want to know your comment on that.
So I can give you a general comment, not on the specifics of Bain Capital's acquisition. That nutraceuticals is, you know, one of the fastest growing and, you know, segments in the health and wellness space across the board, and this is across the world itself. So, yes, I think in India also you're seeing the proliferation of brands and companies which have gone into the segment. We ourselves, you know, did a serious amount of work on nutraceuticals. Then we took a step back, reconstructed our entire portfolio, started building that up, and we've turned positive now from earlier marginal negatives that we were witnessing. We have now turned positive and we intend to continue to grow that. And I'm hoping that, you know, it will become one of our stronger performing businesses in the future.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's from my side. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Rohit Kumar with ADM Advisors. Please go ahead. Rohit,
hi, sir.
Please.
Audible?
Yes, Rohit, please go ahead.
Yeah.
Rohit, please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hello. So my first question was on since we have seen that historically, we have observed that TSP doing well in terms of when we observe higher food inflation. So are we observing similar trends currently as well?
Sorry, your question was related to the TSP, right?
Yes.
Okay, and what was the question? Can you repeat that again, please? It was slightly muffled.
Yeah, so in historically, we have seen that TSP are doing well when we observe higher inflation, food inflation. So are we observing similar trends currently as well?
No, TSP for us is, look, you're right. In fact, TSP at a higher commodity inflation tends to do not so good. But Nutrela is a strong brand. We nearly have 40% market share. And so this quarter, for example, we did 160 crores of business and we had 18% plus of EBITDA margin on that. So because the commodity soya bean prices tend to go up sharply and our ability to pass through that price increase regularly is limited, so typically it tends to do less better. And overall, it's becoming a hyper-competitive space as well. But we are quite confident that we'll continue the guidance that we've always given us, that our margin will be 16 to 18% on the TSP. I think we'll be able to maintain that. We're doing a little shade better than 18%, but I'm confident that we'll maintain that for the year as well.
Okay. And sir, looking at the current environment, how are we looking at the revenue contribution from the FMCG segment in coming quarters?
So in coming for this year, last year we've done close to 10,000 crores of revenue. And this year, overall, my expectation is that we will cross that. We have given a guidance of more than 10 to 12% growth we'll overall witness. So, for example, last year our total sales from FMCG overall was, including the HPC, was 11,000 crores plus. And this year my estimation is that we should certainly cross, increase it by 10% plus. And we should be somewhere closer to 12,500 crores in our revenues.
Okay. And sir, one last question. If we look beyond FY27, what are the biggest structural levers that can take Patanjali Foods from its current earning potential to a significantly higher ROC and EBITDA margin business? Will it be FMCG mix, or it will be premiumization, or it will be higher distribution productivity, or backward integration, or maybe something else? Can you put some light on it?
Yeah, so look, there are three factors which are driving the growth of Patanjali's businesses and profitability. One is our strong momentum that we have on the oil palm plantation. And we've consistently shown a growth. This year, our anticipation is that we should have a growth momentum of more than 15% again on our business, and that on a structural basis is going to become a large profit generator and a consistent margin generator for the company. That's one. Second is, there is an effort across the board that the high profit making kind of businesses like HPC and similarly our Nutrela and biscuits, we will expand our margin construct in that. So that will be the second big driver of the growth. And the third is that in terms of superior risk management that we have, in terms of the brand building that we do on the edible oil side, how do we increase our margin construct, typically what we say between 2 and 4%, towards consistently 5% plus will be a big driver of growth. So if you notice that our performance across all the business categories have shown very good performance, other than one or two blips that we have on the food side, which is also by way of abundant caution in terms of some inventory markdown in case of certain quality issues that we saw in pulses in the stocks that we had. And the higher input inflation in terms of packaging, in terms of commodity and otherwise, which has had some impact on our overall foods business. Our margin construct across the board is very strong. We continue to perform exceedingly well in biscuits. Nutella is very good, which continues to sort of outdo itself in terms of projections. Nutraceuticals has turned the corner. Oil palm plantation is doing exceedingly well. Our crush business is doing very well. Our edible oils category is doing very well. The only blip that we had this quarter was on the food side. And within food, specifically on the staples and partially on the ethnic food, that we are reasonably confident that we'll be able to tide over it. There is some challenge that the industry is also facing, that we are also facing. So net-net, in terms of the overall growth momentum, these steps, I believe, is going to drive our growth in the future. And in terms of the next trajectory level of moving closer to 2,500 crores of EBITDA, hopefully, I think over the next 18 months on an annualized basis, I'm reasonably confident that we should be able to head in that direction.
Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Participants, please press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Payal Shah with Billion Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I just have two questions. First, how are our newly launched products performing in the industry? And how is pipeline of the upcoming products looking?
Sorry, what was the first part of the question? The relaunch of what?
No, I just wanted to know how are the newly launched products performing in the industry and what is the upcoming pipeline of products that we are looking at?
Okay. So the newly launched products in general have tended to do well. And as you know that, success rate is always dependent on factors of the market acceptability, etc. So we do have part that between 30 to 35% of the products that we launch typically do not tend to do as well. And then either we tweak them or work through that. But our success rate, I would say, 60% of our launches typically tend to do well in the marketplace. And they take time in terms of further attention and drive that we have to get. And balance set of products, if they are not up to the level, then either we tweak them, either we reorient them and work towards that. So it's, I would say, 2/3, 1/3 is a success rate. Our pipeline for new product development, I would say, is amongst the better performing parts of the Patanjali, where our ability to innovate and come out with products, with in a quick succession. So our new product development sort of teams are, constant work that we do in the marketplace, I think is one of the stronger points that we have. So you will see in the coming quarters a slew of new products that are getting launched in the HPC category, a slew of products that we are working on in terms of the multiple variants that we have on the, as I mentioned in the initial remarks as well, on the dental care, on the skin care, there are a large number of products. On the biscuits, we launched multiple different new products. So I think there's a very strong sort of architecture of layered new launches that we do. And I'm quite confident that, we will see a reasonably good success rate in these newly launched products.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. That is quite helpful. My next question is, competitors are going big on e-commerce and quick commerce platforms as a mode of distribution. How are we looking at these channels and what kind of revenue contribution can we expect from these channels?
So we are fairly strong. As I had mentioned in the past, that we are growing at 25% year-on-year on the both quick commerce and e-commerce. Currently, if I were to put those numbers together, we right now do close to about 15% between modern trade and e-commerce, quick commerce. We want to take that number up to 20%, and I'm confident that over next 18 months, we will see our numbers reaching 20% of the overall revenue through these channels. So we are available across the board on all these platforms, and we continue to increase our presence on that basis. So we've moved up in last 15 months from 12% to 15, and taking it from 15 to 20% is one of the stated objectives the company has on these emerging distribution channels, and we continue to drive that growth.
Okay. That's quite helpful, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Keshav Harlalka with BHH Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, hi. Thank you so much. Is this Sanjeev Asthana, sir, I'm speaking with?
Yes.
Yes. Hi, sir. So I was sitting behind you when Ramdev Baba came to BSE in July to give a presentation.
Okay.
Just the day prior, our stock price crashed 14%. So I have a question that we have acquired, we have paid 1,100 crores, and we have acquired Patanjali Ayurved's home and personal care business. As far, we have paid purchase consideration of 1,100 crores. So there is some misgiving in the market that we have overpaid for this acquisition. So can you give us some color? Can you give some release on BSE and NSE? What is the valuation methodology we have followed, and how shareholders are benefiting from this acquisition, and how will the numbers look for... Because we have acquired it in July, I think we'll see the numbers from this quarter onwards. So how will the numbers be better and different this quarter onwards versus the corresponding quarter previous year? What is the P/E multiple we've acquired the business at? What kind of earnings can we, what kind of earnings addition can we see for this new business we've acquired?
So I'll first of all, let me tell you, there is no earning multiple or nothing. It has almost come free to Patanjali Foods, the listed entity. We paid on a slump sale basis in November 2024 on the business, which has generated almost 600 crores of EBITDA margin last year. So we, if my numbers are right, Rajeev, what we paid, 1,100 crores or 950 crores? 1,100.
It's only 1,100.
So it is-
Non-food was for 1,100.
So it is a business of, you know, it was 2,900 crores. It was generating a margin of 600 crores, and we have paid 1,100 crores, which is less than 18-19 months of earnings. And which is already in last 18 months, it has already repaid that much and built up our business substantially. So that answers your question straight up. There was no valuation methodology, nothing. It was just straight up on a slump sale basis that we sold, we acquired the business.
So basically, Patanjali Foods is quoting at a P/E multiple of 20, so you basically acquired it for almost free. So I'm just saying that if you can give some clarification, some valuation, some slump sale, that the shareholders have got a very good deal. This price fall from 415 to 340 is quite disconcerting. So if you can give some clarification to NSE and BSE, some valuation, some note we can give, it will definitely help all the shareholders, sir.
So
That was-
It's just a suggestion from my side.
Sure. So Rajeev, I'll just answer, then you give your response.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That clarification-
We have done three acquisitions, you know, in the business, in Patanjali Foods, the listed entity. The first one that we acquired was biscuits business. Then we acquired the foods business, and then we acquired the HPC business. All the three businesses we acquired on a slump sale basis, which is basically just the assets that we paid for and the inventory that they carried at that point of time. There was no valuation methodology, there was nothing. So this was almost gifted by the parent to the listed entity and at a slump sale basis, which is a standard methodology of how you know, the transaction can be done under the Indian law. And there cannot be a better form of these acquisitions, which has tended to help us with the level of... And they have paid, biscuits, for example, has paid multiple times of its acquisition cost. You know, the amount of... Similarly, the foods business has already paid off completely what we acquired it for, and likewise for HPC, that's already paid off for that. So I don't think it requires any clarification on this bit, because it's a complete misconception or complete wrong piece of information that they carry, which just makes no sense at all.
And thank you.
I would like to further add, this information was already given into the stock exchange at the time of acquisition of this business to Patanjali Foods Limited. Basically, detailed explanation was given to the stock exchange and in the shareholders meeting also. So all these transactions was approved by the shareholders in the shareholders meeting. So I don't think any further clarification is required in this case.
Got it. So just one last question from my end. So we showed a 84% growth in profit in Q1 of this year versus Q1 of last year. So can we see a similar trajectory going forward for Q2, Q3, Q4? Can you give us some light on what we could expect for these coming three quarters?
No, so as I mentioned that I think, the performance is subject to obviously the market condition. But broadly, this guidance that we have given, I'd like us to stay within that we will grow at the rate of 10% plus year on year on the margin construct. And that is how it is going. Our top line, I've already mentioned, that foods overall between 8 to 10%, HPC at 15%, and our edible oils between 2 and 4%. And the margin construct similarly, that on EBITDA margins overall basis, we should be between 10 to 12% growth in the margin construct as we go forward.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much.
A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjeev Asthana for the closing remarks.
So with this, I conclude the call. I sincerely thank you for your continued support and trust in Patanjali Foods. If you have any further queries, please reach out to SGA, our investor relations advisor. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Patanjali Foods Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.